We'll start with a production at the El Paso Playhouse that starts on May 13th, and it's a production of Romeo and Juliet, but it's not necessarily the type of play that you're anticipating. We'll explain. With us this afternoon, Vanessa Kaiser, Georgia Varela, and Adam Deaver. Welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yay. Let's talk. Let's talk. This is really an interesting way to look at Shakespeare in a contemporary setting and the way actually that I think he would probably agree.
Absolutely. One of the greatest things about Shakespeare is how his work has stood the test of time. You can take any one of his shows and apply it to everyday situations still in modern times. I've done Hamlet in modern situations as well, and it always amazes me how well it translates to today's audiences. And there's so much that you can do with Shakespeare. He was absolutely genius when dealing with human emotions, human relationships, human contact. He was, bar none, one of the greatest writers in terms of humanity. And so using his work, we've paralleled the ultimate lover's story of Romeo and Juliet, but we've incorporated LGBTQ themes, which we feel is very important to today's society. And being able to combine those two works is absolutely thrilling, and it's been such an amazing process so far. It's been a very unique process. Normally, in the theatrical process, you have a show that you choose, you start rehearsing that show, and then you present that show. These actors and Adam and I had a unique opportunity to do something from scratch. We took a show that is well known. Actually, the El Paso Playhouse had contacted me about 9 or 10 months ago and asked if I would be interested in doing Romeo and Juliet. And I said, of course, I'm very heavily involved with Shakespeare on the Rocks. I've been with Shakespeare on the Rocks for years. I love Shakespeare. And they said, well, hang on, before you say yes, we would like to add in some transgender themes. And I said, that's fascinating. Let me think about it. And so we thought about it for a long time, and then we decided, they asked us, would you like to do the straight version with just Shakespeare's words and incorporate different people into it, or how would you like to do it? And so Adam and I took some time to think about it and decided that we could serve the issue best by writing an original script from scratch. But one of the greatest things about the process is that once we held auditions and cast the show, the cast members had the opportunity to table read the show for a week and give their input into each one of their characters into the show. And so through that, they got to put their heart and souls into the script and the project as well, which is a unique opportunity for actors and for directors and playwrights. So all around, it's been really cool.
Adam, when you and Vanessa got to working into this script, the contemporary themes of LGBT themes and whatnot, any roadblocks and any really nice thoroughfares that you ran into in order to make this a little more, I guess in my world I call it stratospheric. In other words, this thing is really going to be a wonderful thing for everybody to enjoy.
Well, I would say that the process evolved pretty quickly for a number of reasons. My first draft was pretty formulaic. I tried to mimic the structure of the actual play, and it was pretty stereotypical. You know, the bad guy was like really stereotypical. And it was just like, it was kind of flat. And so Vanessa reviewed the first draft. She's like, yeah, I think we can expand. And once I took the stereotypes out of there, the archetypal villain out of it, and I created some dimensions in there. I brought in some more of the contemporary issues going on right now. You know, there's a scene where they're discussing the bathroom bills in North Carolina. Okay. And that really opened up a lot of doors as far as just bringing in more emotion and more dynamics to the play. And the actors, you know, Even just a simple, was Amanda, she's playing Mrs. Salazar in the play. She added, I think, three or four words to a particular line. And it was really able really to bring that extra step of life to that character. But I found that the draft that we've come to now is very dynamic. Romeo and Juliet is there, but it's much more contemporary. and current than Shakespeare's original work.
I think one of the biggest challenges that we had in coming into this project is that Adam and I, of course, are both straight individuals, and I don't have anybody close to me that faces these issues. So what our biggest concern was, how do we serve this truthfully and honestly when we ourselves don't deal with this on a daily basis? And so that's why it was so important for us to open this up to the cast, to the community, so that we could get input from other perspectives that we're not familiar with. And that was challenging too. One of the first things that I did at auditions was tell people, this is going to be your show too. We welcome your input from all walks of life. And throughout the rehearsal process, we're focusing on it being an open rehearsal area where people can talk about their issues, talk about their feelings, talk about what they need, what they would like to see in the show to address the issue properly. Because, you know, as from our perspective, we can't truthfully write or address those issues as somebody else could. And coming into it with that mentality has really opened a lot of things for us, and it's opened a lot of perspectives for us. And I think it's made the piece a lot stronger because of it, because we've been able to incorporate all these different perspectives into the show. And you'll see that when you see the show. It's amazing how when you give an actor the ability to put so much input into their role, it's amazing the transformation that takes place when they get on stage and suddenly, I did this, I wrote this line, they took this line and they put it in the show for me. Right. And it's the passion that you see with that translates immediately, and it's so much fun. Georgia herself, I gave her the character of Beth, who is the snarky best friend. I don't want to give too much of the show away, but she's the snarky best friend, and she's the protector of our main character, who is transgendered. The character, not the actress, but the character is transgendered. And I told Georgia the first night, I was like, now, this is how she is. So if you see a line or two that you think could be made stronger, then by all means, give us some rewrites. The next day, this girl came in and she had given some sass to this role that was absolutely just thrilling to watch. Like, she suddenly became that character, and it was so great. And it infused the cast, and suddenly everybody had ideas and everybody wanted to bring something to the table. And so this, I'm so proud of what we've accomplished so far. And we're only in, what, week three of rehearsal? That's we're only in so far in that process. And already the changes, but the passion and the excitement that the cast members show every day in rehearsal, constantly wanting to bring so much of their own perspective to it is just, it's thrilling. I love it.
You know, the only time I've ever really been up on a stage, well, two times. One in 1977, I had a non-speaking role as a Nazi in Robert Sherwood's Idiot's Delight, sitting at a table with a concubine and drinking a bottle of wine. Yeah. So we did okay. That was in 77. And then lo and behold, at the Playhouse, when we did It's a Wonderful Life, because I was doing the music coordination, all of a sudden I was the goon. Mm-hmm. And so I understand this whole process of, you know what, bring something to the table that actually makes that goon you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, all right.
Mm. And it suddenly opens up so much more.
It really does, because all of a sudden now everybody's getting into the whole routine of, let me bring it tonight and let's see where we go from there. So, yeah, it becomes really fun. So, Georgia, when you decided, when you heard this whole idea of being, number one, you're being the protector, but number two, you have to do it in today's vernacular. I mean, is this something that you tap into, or is this something that you just see and decide, someday I would like to be you, but not?
Actually, I found a lot of myself in my character. I think that I portray my character very well because I am very sarcastic in real life and very sassy, sometimes a little bit too sassy. Especially, I'm sure my parents would agree with that. but I saw a lot of the aspects that I see in myself, and as the protector especially, because with my friends I'm very protective and stuff like that. And I have friends in the LGBTQ community who I'm very protective of, because some people aren't very open to some of the issues that they face and stuff like that. And it's a very touchy subject for some people. So when people display that around my friends, I get extremely protective over them. So I think that I can use my real-life experiences and portray that with my character, which I think helps a lot into the play.
I think the bottom line to this particular production of Romeo and Juliet is that it portrays today in the terms of what Shakespeare had seen in his lifetime, but knew that every generation had before him had gone through it, and every generation after him would have to go through.
Exactly, exactly. And it was easier than we thought to parallel the story by today's standards, because certainly teenagers are teenagers now as they were then. Mm-hmm. And so it was easy to bring that
aspect
into
it. When we were teenagers.
Yeah, and when we were, yeah. It's the same story.
Shakespeare's themes are universal, and they'll remain universal. And that's the point of the story. The point of the story is not to the focus of the play is not the issues. The issues are definitely there, but the focus of the story of the play is the story, is this love story. You know, it's like the Titanic. That's the James Cameron movie. The story is the love story. The backdrop just happens to be the ship. Well, here the backdrop is the issues, and yes, their transgender status plays into that, but the play is not deciding for you. It's not making you trying to think one way. There's a whole lot of different opinions in that play, and it's not making a decision for you. You're there to see this love story, and unfortunately, it ends tragically, just like Shakespeare.
Wow. Yeah.
And I do think that it's worth mentioning that the ending is very tragic and graphic.
Well, there's a big picture here to put this all into proper perspective so that folks who are listening to this are saying, oh, my gosh, this thing's really going to get kind of strange towards the tail end of it. But the big picture is that you've had several generations now, at least that I can think of since 1990, that have been raised on Grand Theft Auto as a video game. The whole centric thing about that is how humans treat other humans in some form or another. And if you take it back to Shakespeare time, it's all about love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, Shakespeare, his themes are so universal. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about humans treat other humans. The Merchant of Venice is a great example of that. And so many people think that Shylock is the villain. He's not the villain of the play. The Christian is the villain of the play. And it's all about that interaction. And, you can't separate who these people are in that interaction. And I'm just really, really excited about how it was received. All the actors were just – I mean the lead actress gave me this thumbs up, and I had – which was, hey, you've treated this subject matter with respect. And that's a pretty big compliment, because I know very little of this realm, but – the themes are universal. You don't have to be gay or transgender to relate to these individuals. You just have to be human.
Right.
And it's just that universal concept that I think we're doing a really good job with.
So you open on May 13th. It's Friday night?
Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Friday and Saturday, showtime is at 8?
Is at 8, yes.
Do you have Sunday matinees?
We have 3 Sunday matinees. The first 3 Sundays are matinees. Those start at 2.
Okay. And you run through?
June 4th.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All of the information that you'll need for El Paso Playhouse at 2501 Montana will be up on our website, along with the full conversation, so to speak, of...
Sans the ending that I gave away earlier.
Yeah. There you go. Now you know that something's missing, but that's okay.
Come see the show and you'll find out what.
Yep, absolutely. Georgia Varela, Vanessa Kaiser, Adam Deaver from El Paso Playhouse's production of Romeo and Juliet. Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate you so much. Mi casa, su casa.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.